So they want to go from, they want to be able to double their occupancy. They say right now that they only want to add 38 additional units. I think if that was left at a R2, they could work with the city and add an additional 38 units. Or it could be, I don't know if it can be, but could it be like a 1.7, you know, instead of an R, an R1. There's an article in the Oregonian that in June that Larry Bingham wrote, quoting Debbie, saying that there was nothing that they could do about a development down on Fremont because the city had already given them the zoning. And so if you give the Hacienda that area, it actually it's the Hacienda, and there's another unit right next to it, 150 feet. Most of that development is not on Killingsworth, but it's on Emerson, the next street up, the neighborhood street up. Right now, there's a whole bunch of cars parked there. If they only had 38, that's great. But if they add more, the parking will be that much worse. And the Hacienda says they're only going to add 38, but the other lot on the end on Emerson, which is 150 feet of that 900 feet on Emerson, they didn't say what they were going to do.
Okay.
So,
thank you.
I think in fairness,
Larry Bingham should be allowed to do a rebuttal. Larry, would you care to say? Would you care to say?
There you go.
You're raising a, my button's on here, but there we go. You're raising a citywide issue, and I appreciate that. The council has asked the Planning and Sustainability Commission to hold a hearing and bring back to us before the end of the year a recommendation on the issue of parking in multifamily apartments. It's something that has been in place for quite some time. Mm-hmm. So it's certainly of concern here in Polish if there's zoning changes. It's a citywide issue, which I agree needs to be addressed sooner.
Yeah, that's really good. And then also, if all they want is 38 more units.
Okay, good. We have to move on. Sorry, we got to thank you all very much. All right, let's entertain a motion to amendment. Commissioner Saltzman.
I move that figure 8, the pedestrian bicycle routes map on page 37 of the plan, have a greenway designation on Northeast Alvin River between Northeast 72nd and Northeast 72nd. Removed, and further refinement in the transportation system plan, I agree with that.
Second. It's been moved and seconded. Any council discussion?
Mayor, I have a question of you, because you had raised the question of the possibility that the timing could prejudice the ability for this project to get in the queue. So, is there a timeline associated with this amendment?
No. I have no doubt that Kathy will make sure that we get a route, whatever the route is. I really mean that sincerely. I don't know off the top of my head. I do know that at the end of the calendar year, we submit our fund request to the regional transportation. And it sounds like it's a in part a question of where the hearings were held and the time of year, so I think we can rectify that in the fall.
Thank you.
Carla, would you please vote on the motion?
Saltzman?
Aye.
Look. Fritz?
This is evidence that there's always opportunity, even in the very last hearing after a year-long process, to make changes and include some of the plans that they could bring forward. The community and
the
Fish?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Amendment is approved. I move that we substitute the title.
Second.
so that Commissioner Saltzman doesn't go to jail.
Second.
Mr. Mayor, do you want to incorporate those changes throughout the documents?
And that they incorporate those changes throughout the documents so that it reads the Cully Commercial Quarter and Local Street Plan.
Second.
Moving to second, is there any discussion? Council Carla, can you please call the vote on the motion?
Saltzman?
Aye.
Fritz?
This is an example of how attention to details really does matter. Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Change the name of the plan. I move to amend the resolution to require reporting every year instead of every 3 years. And so I have it in writing here beginning in the fall of this year. So,
is this the gentrification?
Yeah, so it reads as follows. Now therefore be resolved that the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability of the Portland Development Commission, Portland Housing Bureau, and all other necessary Portland Plan partners, as part of implementing Portland Plan Action 97, compile, monitor, and evaluate historic, current, and future demographic housing and market data for the Cully neighborhood every year, beginning in the fall of 2012, and share this information with agency and community partners, like the Portland Plan partners, to inform and adjust local strategies as necessary.
Second.
And move and second in this.
Mayor, I have a question. I'm in favor of it, but my sense historically is that when you, in a resolution, say that multiple bureaus are responsible for doing something, and what's lost in the translation is who is the lead bureau? The
Bureau of Planning and Sustainability.
Thank you.
Followed by the Parks Bureau.
Next mayor will decide that question. We will be having a report in a couple of months.
Yep. We've actually been working on this. So. Carly, can you please tell them vote on the motion?
Saltzman?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Motion is approved. I move to amend the resolution to direct staff to convene a committee within the next 60 days on additional land use and zoning tools to advance community goals and to avoid gentrification. So I have a whereas clause in the last split page that reads the following. Now therefore be resolved that the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, the Portland Development Commission, the Portland Housing Bureau, and others convene a stakeholder committee within the next 60 days to examine the additional land use and zoning tools to prevent displacement and gentrification and advance community benefit goals, and to report back on additional tools that the city has at its disposal or that the city might choose to advocate for through changes in state law.
Second.
So moved and seconded. Council discussion.
Mayor, the two issues that I heard floated at this hearing were rent control and inclusionary zoning. There will be many more. Just so that everyone's clear, we are preempted under state law from considering inclusionary zoning. The irony in that is that the Secretary of HUD, the Federal Housing Secretary, is a great champion of inclusionary zoning and successfully saw it implemented in New York City when he was the Housing Commissioner. So we are effectively prevented by law preemption from even considering locally whether to have that. So I think it's worthy of a discussion now so that we can decide whether to put it in our legislative agenda.
And just by way of example, it took me 4 sessions, 8 years to get some local control on our speeds. So sometimes it takes time, but it's worth it. I think it's worth the effort personally. Carly, can you please help roll?
Saltzman?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Are there other amendments? Carly, can you please call the vote on accepting the Cully Corridor, the Cully Commercial Corridor and Local Street Plan? As number
970?
No.
970?
969. No, 969 is a non-emergency ordinance, goes to second reading.
So you want 970?
So
that's
970.
970, yeah.
Saltzman? Well, I think it's worth explaining the Cully, formerly known as the Cully Main Street Plan. We'll be voting on at the council session next week. But certainly, and I'm pleased to support the transportation plan, and really just to compliment again the Cully Neighborhood Association, Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, Transportation, Mayor for bringing all these this plan and resolutions for to our attention and for our support. And I'm pleased to support them now and I'll support them next week. The Cully neighborhood has always been an outstanding neighborhood in terms of its activism and neighborhood participation. I'm always amazed how many people are there at their neighborhood meetings when I go. So I just want to say this is another testament to your faith, and my hope is that this plan stands the test of time and results in the prosperity and that we all hope will come to the Cully neighborhood, as well as improved transportation, access to work, to and from one part of the neighborhood to another, and to Cully Boulevard to support the local businesses there. So great work to everybody, and I vote yes on the resolution. We'll vote yes next week on the ordinance. Aye.
Fritz.
What a great hearing. What a great community. What a great plan. And great staff. I am the mother of three children, and I can tell you what each one of them is my favorite child. I'm the commissioner in charge of the Office of Neighborhood Involvement, and I can tell you why each one of the 95 neighborhoods is my favorite neighborhood. But tonight you have shown why this is such a great neighborhood, how this is such a great neighborhood. And I do commend the leadership of Kathy First and now, who for a long time has been a driving force and a gathering force, and as somebody who brings communities together and who truly cares about this community. So thank you very much, Kathy, for your leadership. Thank you to each one of you for being here tonight. Michelle's comments on the school capacity is both a challenge and a joy. What a great thing that we have so many families in Cully who go to their local public schools, their great local public schools. I have done some reading in the stormwater garden here before, and I know the love and the passion that the teachers and the students and the families have here, and what a great environment it is. It has been inspiring tonight to hear how many times concern over gentrification has come up as a concern for our neighbors here in Cully, and the joy of living in a community that's perhaps the most diverse in the state, and understanding why that matters and how it matters, and having some great suggestions for how to make sure that it stays that way. So I'm very much appreciative of Mayor Adams and Susan Anderson and your team at the Bureau of Planning for looking at this holistically, looking at this plan, for looking at Cully Streets and thinking how that might be implemented citywide, for thinking about the cost and is that fair, who pays, who benefits, and is that fair. That's the essence of what the Office of Equity and Human Rights is going to be looking at citywide for jobs and contracts and services within the city of Portland and then throughout our neighborhoods. So thank you, everyone who's participated in this, for leading us and for guiding us and for partnering with us. This is a great example of the community and the city working together for a better tomorrow and fixing the sins of the past, as was mentioned by one of our testifiers tonight. Thank you all. Aye.
Fish.
Well, first, a number of people who testified tonight were kind enough to thank the council for being at this hearing. I want to turn it around and thank the community for inviting us to your neighborhood to have this hearing. And it's been my experience and my colleagues' experience that when you're out in the community and people have a chance to actually attend, because I can assure you if this was a city hall hearing after hours, we would not have the same attendance because of the transportation challenges. It's much more productive. So thank you for hosting us. I've been on the council for 4 years, and I say this every time I'm in front of Debbie. I think the two most successful plans that we've debated, adopted, and worked to implement were the Cully Concordia Plan and the East Portland Action Plan. And the reason that I think that they're both the most successful is I think they hit the reset button on the relationship between the city and the council. Both plans really were developed by the community. Both plans involved a whole different approach from planning's point of view, a city point of view, engaging the community. And both plans have given us clear roadmaps forward with measurable results along the way. And I have felt a palpable change in the relationship between the city and the impacted communities because the plan was done right. And on this one, Debbie, hats off really to you and the team for all your good work. It makes our job a lot easier, but it also allows us to connect more deeply with the community. On the question of gentrification, I just want to make a comment, and we talked about this earlier. There is a divergence of opinion on this subject
about the tools we should use to address gentrification. There is one school of thought that we should invest in developed neighborhoods that already have high-performing schools, significant infrastructure, in order to provide choice so that people can live in a Southwest Portland or live in, if you look regionally, a Lake Oswego. There's another school of thought that says that in areas that have been neglected historically, we have an obligation to address and create choice in those neighborhoods. For what it's worth, my view on this is we should do both. We should invest in areas that are stronger and have more investment infrastructure and amenities, and we should invest in areas that are developing. Because real choice means that a low-wage worker deciding to live in our great city should have the same choice as a high-wage worker in looking at all of our neighborhoods and seeing fewer barriers to entry. And you should be able to choose to live in Lentz or Cully or in Southwest or Inner Northeast for personal reasons, historical reasons, or as one of our testifiers said tonight, because for 50 years you've lived here and this is home. Whatever your reason, we should be working on removing the barriers so people can really choose, and that means investing in all neighborhoods. So I reject categorically the idea that we should not be investing in Lentz and Cully because we are somehow concentrating people in areas. I find that offensive, and I think it's a historical. On the question of how we move forward, I just want to note, and we heard that the new garden at Thomas Cully Park will be opening in October. That garden will actually get the city to its 1,000th garden. So that will be a big celebration. I also want to announce that on the Werben property at Northeast 52nd between Alberta Court and Whiting, the next open house is actually going to be here on September 8th. And people will have a chance to look at the plan that's developing. Kathy, thanks to you and all the advocates for the work that led to the Summer Street Community Garden. That's proof that sometimes it takes maybe longer than we would like, but perseverance pays off. And finally, I want to make a little plug for a Parks Bond. Recently, in concert with the Parks Board and Parks Advocates, we announced that next year we'll go out and seek public support for a Park Bond. Every 10 years or so, the city does this, and this is why we're a gold medal system, because the public, on a regular basis, invests in our system. And the theme of this Parks Bond will be bringing equity to underserved areas. We have some wonderful plans that have been developed, like at Thomas Cully Park, like at Park Lane. The mayor alluded to the Gateway earlier. We have a Gateway Park. We have a new plan for Lentz Park. What we don't have is the tens of millions of dollars of capital dollars to build them out. And we won't have those dollars unless we successfully pass the bond measure. So I urge you to get involved in that discussion as we proceed, and I urge you to consider what your priorities would be in underserved areas of the city, like Cully and Concordia, for where you'd like to see the early investments made. Thanks to everyone for coming out tonight and sharing your testimony. I hope for all of us, we learned a lot. And I look forward, as the Parks and Housing Commissioner, to work shoulder to shoulder with you to move forward.
Adams?
Well, just reiterate my thanks to the community for your participation in this process, to all the leadership. Planning Commission, Debbie, absolutely, Susan, and underscore Denver. Agara, who is a transportation planner, and really our work together on this plan helped inform the citywide plan of get the city out of this, the mud and dust. Staff will tell you behind the scenes, I have been passionate that we not overpromise in this plan. For example, the first street examples I saw were what Andre Bob, chair of the commission, talked about. The cheap and skinny streets of 10 years ago turned out to be skinny but not cheap. And we have had very little uptake on that. So cost-effective approaches, I think, are in this plan. And I look forward to the discussions about gentrification. I think that there are a lot of lessons to be learned, more applicable lessons potentially, to be learned sure that the partnership with the school districts, I think, is absolutely critical, not only for facility issues, which are dire, but also for the quality of the education opportunities for everybody. So I'm excited to do the follow-up on this before I retire. I'm really pleased to support it. I want to thank Lisa Libby and Rihanna Ensery and John Paul Matthew in my office for their work on this as well.
No, you need 971. There's another resolution to vote on.
I move to reopen the hearing.
Phillipson?
Aye.
Fritz?
Well, actually, I like it when we have two votes because then I have time to say something
to
stop it. Usually, most of the outlines right in the hands will write. Commissioner Fish's comments on the bond measure for potential bond measure for parks shows again that, and as in this process, getting in early, having your comments, that would be good to be in that process. We have another bond measure on the ballot in November for construction for Portland Public Schools. And this council has recently dedicated over $5 million to provide over 100 teachers for the classes this year. As was mentioned, that they are overcrowded. So it is important. We're not allowed to do any more, can't do any more in terms of providing ongoing funding. I hope that each one of you helps with us down at the legislature to demand that the legislature take care of ongoing stable school funding. That is the biggest need across our city, across our state. And I invite you to our legislative agenda setting forum, which is September 27th at 6 o'clock at the Portland Building. You're welcome to come down and make your voice heard as to the things that you'd like to see change at the state level, and then to partner with us both in helping to get Portland Public Schools bond measure passed in November, and then demanding that the legislature address this ongoing issue. Because without that, we can make all the neighborhood improvements that we're planning to do. If we can't educate our children, then our future won't look like what this plan said it's going to be. So again, thank you very much for your participation, and thank you for your leadership of this project. Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams?
Ballot measure 26-146 would add a certified arts educator back into this school and every elementary school in the same neighborhood. It's $35 a year. It's probably the best, cheapest investment we can make. It doesn't fix the dire overall funding needs of the schools, but it makes sure that